Hi, good evening, everybody. This week is Parshas Balak, and I want to talk about a theme that is mentioned in this week's Parsha, and that theme is the halacha of keeping secrets secret, which is referred to in halacha as Gilui Soid, the iser, the prohibition against divulging other people's secrets. So in this week's parasha, we have one of the sources of privacy in the Torah. The pasuk says, famous pasuk, we say it every day, Ma tovu ohalecha Yaakov, how wonderful or how good are your tents, Yaakov. And that happened, Bilam said this when he saw that the tents of Kal Yisrael were organized in a way to maximize each person's individual privacy. And from here we learn many concepts that are so intrinsic to our life. Concepts of tzniyus, concepts of privacy. And amongst those halachas are the halachas of keeping people's secrets a secret. These halachas of keeping secrets are part of the mitzvah and the avera of Lashon Hara and Rechilus. And in addition, they're a unique obligation as well. The main source for the prohibition against disclosing confidential information comes from a halacha regarding dayanim, judges. The Gemara says that if someone has a din Torah, right, and the Bezdin rules against them, so every Bezdin we know is composed of three Dayanim, and we go with the majority. So it was a 2-to-1 ruling, two ruled against him, and one ruled in his favor. So it's prohibited for the one dissenting Dayan to approach the fellow and say, you know, I really ruled in your favor, but I was overruled. So the Gemara says this constitutes Rechilus. So that the aspect of the Isser is twofold. Number one, he is divulging information which is highly confidential. It was a discussion within the walls of Bezdin between themselves, which was not meant to reach the ears of the Baldin, of the person standing in the Dintera. And secondly, it's also a Rechilus. You're telling something about the other two Dayanim, disclosing that they were the ones that ruled against him, which is not something they would want him to know, and not something that's beneficial if he would know it. It would cause him to probably hate them. So they're both aspects of the Isser of relating other people's secrets are included over here. Number one, it's confidential, and you're releasing information which is confidential. And secondly, you through releasing this information, you're damaging other people. The reason why it's prohibited to divulge other people's secrets is, number one, because it's a lack of honesty, and secondly, because it causes people to then say Lashon Hara and causes people to say Rechilus. And Rabbeinu Yoina in Shari Tshuva puts in the category of people that speak Lashon Hara and speak Rechilus, includes people that divulge secrets. Now, this obligation of confidentiality is also mentioned in the Gemara in Yuma, where it's said in a very interesting way. It says in the Gemara that how do we know that unless someone expressly allows you to reveal information he's telling you, that it's prohibited to reveal it? And the Gemara says we learn this from no other than Hashem, who always had to expressly command Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemar. Hashem spoke to Moshe to say. And Moshe was not allowed to repeat it unless he was expressly commanded to repeat it. So otherwise, Moshe would have had to assume that it's a secret, it's confidential between him and Hashem, and he wouldn't be permitted to teach that to Klal Yisrael. So from here, we learn that any time someone tells you something, and obviously we're talking about something which would have you would have some reason to believe that perhaps the person who told it to you would want it to be confidential. You know, if he tells you that, I think it's going to rain tomorrow, so that's not something that you're obligated to keep confidential, but it's highly unlikely the person cares. But if he tells you anything of a personal nature where it's likely that they want it to be confidential, they don't have to expressly forbid you from telling it to anybody else. It's understood that you can't repeat it unless you've gotten permission or you've understood from the person that it's okay for you to repeat it. So that's another important aspect of this prohibition of divulging secrets that we see from this Gemara. The pasuk in Mishle says, there's actually a number of sukkim in Mishle that discuss this, but one of them is Hailech Rachil Megalasite. Someone who carries Rachilus, evil tales. Megalah Sod is someone who divulges secrets. And the Vilna Gaon explains this to mean that they're equivalent. A person who reveals secrets is equivalent to a person who spreads someone else spreads gossip. He goes around and says that, do you know what so-and-so said about so-and-so? The two things are equivalent. So it's a very serious issur, it's a very serious transgression of the things that we have to control our speech, the things that we have to be careful when we speak. Now, there are a number of questions regarding Gilui Sod, so I want to address some of them. I'll speak with some of them this week and perhaps next week. One question is that when does this issur apply? Does it only apply if someone tells you something and he takes you into confidence and he commits you to secrecy? Or does it even apply when you happen to find out something which you know is probably meant to be a secret, but no one told you, you just happen to find it out? For example, let's say you know someone is trying to buy a house. Or let's rephrase that. Let's say someone is trying to buy a house, and the person that's planning on buying a house doesn't want everybody to know about it. It's not good for him. They'll cause competition. It's private, etc. All the number of reasons why perhaps someone wouldn't want that information to be public. So he hasn't told anybody that he's planning on buying a house, but you find out that he's planning on buying a house from an unrelated source, his plumber, right? He was checking out plumbing into the house he's looking at. So that plumber let you know that, I was just there together with that guy. So you realize that he must be trying to buy a house. So you came to information which is technically private, and you realize that it's private. You realize the person doesn't want anybody to know about it, but he didn't tell you. So is that Gilui Sod if you spread that information? Or is it Asur? Or is it not? Perhaps since no one told it to you, you weren't committed to secrecy, you found it out on your own. So there's no problem. You can tell other people about it. So some Sfarim say that this is Gilui Sod, and this is Asur. And they quote a very interesting thing from the Sefer Pela Yayet, which is an early Musar Sefer. And the Sefer Pela Yayet quotes this in the name of a different Tshuva Sefer that says, very interesting thing. It says that even if just you try to find out someone's secret is asur, meaning you can't go snooping around and searching the internet and interviewing different people to try to get them to inadvertently get you information about someone else, trying to figure out someone's secret information is also included in the issur of Gilui Sod. He says, what's the difference between telling the secret to someone else or telling the secret to yourself if you weren't meant to know it? You have to respect the person's right to privacy. They say, if that's the case, then certainly it doesn't make any difference if he told us you took you into confidence or if you found out. Regardless, it's a secret and it's not permitted to be divulged. Others from say that no, the issur itself is only if you actually have been taken into confidence, but if you found out in other ways, the issur doesn't apply. So I would think, just from looking at the sources, it would seem that according to the letter of the law, probably it only pertains when you've been taken into confidence. However, the spirit of the law clearly applies any time you become aware of a secret, and therefore, either it's a true issur of Lashon Hara, or even if it's not a true issur of Gilui Sod of Lashon Hara, but in any case, it's certainly ethically incorrect, and it's certainly morally incorrect, not what the Torah wants. If you do find out someone else's secret, you should respect that person's privacy and keep it a secret as well. On the topic of privacy and keeping things private. So it's interesting, there's a very interesting aspect about it, which we see in this week's parasha from this very same pasuk of Matzah V'Elach Yach. We have to know the background to why Bilam actually said that pasuk. Interestingly, that pasuk of Matzah V'Elach Yach is one of the few psukim that we quote in davening from Bilam's whole drasha, even though he said a number of nice things about Klal Yisrael. And the reason is because after many years later, Klal Yisrael did Averis, the Gemara says that many of his intended klalos, which came out as brachas against his will, reverted to being klalos because that was his true intent. The only one that didn't was Matzah V'Elach Yachav. That remained the bracha, because his intention was also good in that case, as we'll see in a moment. The Gemara says, what was Bilam's plan? How did he expect to curse Klal Yisrael? What trick did he have up his sleeve? So the Gemara says he knew a very volatile piece of information. he knew how to figure out the moment of the day that Hashem Kivayachol is in a rage, is angry. And Gemara says that every day there's a moment, split second, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kayet. He gets angry. What causes that moment of rage? The Gemara says that every day, all over the world, as day breaks, the kings of each respective nation don their crowns and bow down to the sun, which is their idol. And this Chilul Hashem angers HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So apparently there's no specific moment in the day when this will happen, as daybreak is constantly occurring throughout the world. So at any given time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu engages in rage as a result of this Chilul Hashem. And Bilam knew how to discern this particular time, and his plan was to curse in that split second. What could you say in that split second? So Taisus says that you could say the word kalem, destroy them. And he was going to catch it that second, say that word, and that would have been the end. That would have been curtains for Klai Yisrael. The Gemara says that it's very difficult to pinpoint this time. One Tana, Rabbi Yehoshua, had developed a process whereby he would observe a rooster. He tied this rooster to his bed, and he would observe it straight for 24 hours, and there was an instant where the red appendage on top of its head turns white, and he knew that that was the second of rage. But the Gemara says he was planning on cursing a certain heretic that was torturing Yidden, bothering the Jews, making edicts against them, but he was caused to fall asleep in that instant because it's not proper for tzaddikim to curse others. Cursing is not a Jewish thing. So how was Klal Yisrael saved? Bilam had then this master plan. What did they do? How did Hashem save them? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from this Haftarah that says that Hashem did not get angry during those days that Bilam tried to course Klal Yisrael. He refrained from getting angry. And the Gemara says, Laman das tzidka is Hashem. This was a tremendous tzidka, tremendous chesed that Hashem did with us. He didn't get angry during those days. He pulled the rug out from under Bilam's plan. So now, why didn't Hashem get angry? Hashem has a very good reason to get angry. There's a Chilul Hashem going on. So the pasuk gives us a hint. It says, Bilam tried to curse Klal Yisrael, tried once, turned into a bracha. Tried a second time, it turned into a bracha again. After two times, the pasuk says that, Vayar Bilam ki tov ve'in Hashem levarach es Yisrael. He saw that it's good in the eyes of Hashem to bless Klal Yisrael. V'leholach kapam b'fam l'kras nechashim. He chose not to use his tricks, nechashim are his tricks, his witchcraft, which would be referring to this moment of rage, I imagine. He chose not to use that. He observed Klal Yisrael to see what fault he could find in them. And it says that Yisabil HaMaseinav, he raised his eyes, Yaris Yisrael Sheikhin L'Shvatav, and he saw Klal Yisrael dwelling amongst the Shvatim. And Rashi explains what that means is that he saw what we said before, that they had their tents organized in a way that maximizes privacy, that when you walk out of your tent, you can't look into anybody else's tent. They were living with the utmost tznius, with the utmost privacy. And it says that Tehi Olav Ruach Alekim, Rashi explains, he from himself decided not to curse. This convinced him that they are worthy of bracha and they should not be cursed, which means he understood that it's pointless to curse them. He understood that it's a waste of time. He understood that his plan can't possibly succeed because now he saw why it was that Hashem wasn't angry, why it was that it wasn't happening. Because Klal Yisrael were dwelling with tznius. And that's when he said, Matayu Ayalacha, Yaakov, how good are your tents, Yaakov? What is the point over here? So the point is that when Klal Yisrael lives with tznius, the Shekhinah dwells amongst them. When Klal Yisrael lives, ish v'ishtai, a husband and a wife dwell with the utmost tznius, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and lives amongst them as well. Their dwelling, their home, turns into a makam ashroi, the Shekhinah, so it turns into a place to house HaKadosh Baruch Hu, similar to the Mishkan, similar to the Beis HaMikdash. And what it means that Shekhinah is amongst us means that we have the closest and holiest relation that we can have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's contingent on tznius, that's contingent on privacy. Why is that? So this is a very interesting thing. There's a lot, obviously, here, and there's a lot to talk about. I just want to bring out one point I just saw. there's an increasingly growing lack of privacy in the world. A lot of it has to do with social media and people's tendency to share everything about their lives. People share their lunch, their supper, their breakfast, who they saw, who they didn't see, who they don't want to see, etc. Every aspect of their lives are shared. People divulge very personal information, pictures of themselves, personal facts. They talk about their innermost feelings on a platform where hundreds and thousands of people can see. And what this destroys, I've seen, researched, is it destroys the capability for a relationship, because the definition of a growing relationship, the definition of a close relationship, is where a person feels comfortable to share private things. That's how relationships develop. And if a person has nothing private, if a person throws everything out there onto the street, they are then, by definition, incapable of having a close relationship. Privacy is the key to any relationship. Privacy is the keeper of the values that can grow a relationship. If there's nothing to you, then there's nothing to connect to. If a person has nothing private, then there's nothing to cherish. Then there's nothing to share. Then there's no way to grow the relationship. The privacy between a husband and a wife, and the privacy between them and the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how they serve Hashem, what manner they serve Hashem, what practices they have, what they've taken on themselves, what's important to them, what's important to their children, how they deal with their children's accomplishments, all these things are very private. And they can sometimes be shared. Sometimes there's a purpose to sharing them, and there's definitely people that you should and could share with. But at the same time, it's not meant to be displayed in front of the open internet or displayed out in the open and discussed openly among, you know, anybody and everybody, because that phrase and eats away at the values that we have, and it eats away at anything sacred that there is in our house. So the Shekhinah, if we want to have a relationship with the Shekhinah, privacy is of utmost importance. And the more that Klal Yisrael practiced privacy, the more that they had tzniyus, the more that they showed how things are sacred, things belong inside the house, the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu grew. And that's when it became a Makom HaShoreis HaShekhinah. And when a Shekhinah is able to settle amongst Klal Yisrael, that overwhelming Kiddush Hashem drowned out the Chilul Hashem that occurred throughout the world, and therefore enabled that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not get angry in those days. And as a result, we were zeichet to the biggest blessing, which is part of our daily davening every day. Have a good night and a good Shabbos.